Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your day, a day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we come today just expecting you to reveal things to us, you to teach us, to lead us and guide us into all truth and by your Spirit. So we just give you honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray for Brother Cassiano. He had to go visit his son in the hospital in Oklahoma, and he's diabetic, and he was asking for prayer for his son. So keep him in your prayer list this week. So praise the Lord. So I may have to speak Spanish on Wednesday again. What do you think, Albert? Do you think I can pull it off? Yeah, because Brother Cassiano's not here, so I'm plan B, apparently. So I may have to speak. If you want to hear me speak in Spanish, you're going to have to go to the Colonia on Wednesday at 6:30. I'll be there. Praise the Lord. You may not want to hear that. But I have plenty of interpreters to help me, so that's good. Praise the Lord. Don't lose your passion. So we're on a series about passion. Do you have any passion? Do you have passion? You know that you have passion for something. The idea, and as pastor, my job is to try to get you to use your passion and direct it into the right place, right? Into that destiny that God has for you. And that's what this message is about, is having passion for God's calling in your life. You know, it's important that we know that we have passion for something. You know, I gave you my Houston Astros baseball story last week, right? I have a lot of passion to listen to hear them. I don't get to hear them nearly as much now. I don't have the same passion, but I gave you that story about that passion I had, and God kind of redirected my passion a little bit on that. If you want to hear that, you're going to have to go to the message in the website from last week, but we learned about that. So just a reminder, everybody has their notes, right? And I say this every week, and I it's so important. You write a thought down, or you underline something here, or you write something, and when you go home, you pray about it. I really believe God's trying to speak to us. Do you all, right? We know God's trying to speak to us every Sunday. He's trying to speak to us, make things clear for us. And so it's important that you don't just come into church and say bless me and then leave and forget it. It's important that we're intentional about growing in the Lord. And that's important. So write something down or underline something and pray about it in your time. So we must have passion. Don't lose your passion, part three. That's what we're talking about today. You know, you can't call your own game. Now, I wrote that down, and you're probably thinking, what do you mean, call my own game? Well, when I was in high school, I was a pitcher. And I started in Little League and then into high school and varsity, JV, then varsity. I would line up and get ready to pitch, but I didn't know what pitch I was going to throw. The coach would actually tell the catcher what pitch I should throw, right? I wasn't able to call my own game, and that's what the words that were used. I wasn't able to call my own game because the coach knew better on what to throw or what was next, whether it was a fastball, curveball, inside, outside, those kind of things. And so there was moments, though, when the coach kind of started trusting you a little more, and you could call your own game. But even when you got to that point where the coach could trust you to pick your own pitches and to call your own game, whenever the game got to a critical moment, the coach would step in and say, no, throw this, right? Didn't let you kind of make your own decision. And when I said you can't call your own game, in the kingdom of God, you cannot call your own game. You cannot say, this is how I'm going to live my Christian life, and I'm going to do it whether God likes it or not. It doesn't work that way, does it? Because when you begin to call your own game in life, you begin to run into problems and where God's not in it. And the last thing you want in your life is for you to be on the journey and God's not with you. Amen? That you do not want that. You know, there's a whole sermon about this, about, and I heard it at the Foursquare convention as well. There's a whole sermon that I've preached on, and I have it. Maybe I'll pull it out one day. I don't know. But I like it because it's that moment where Moses was given an option. You can go with your people to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. Or you can stay here. And Moses said, I am not going to the promised land if you're not going to be with us. If you're not going and your presence and your spirit is not going with us, I am not going if you're not with us. I'd rather stay here in the wilderness where you are than go to the promised land where you're not. That's a pretty deep, if you can understand what that means to your life. If you can apply that concept to your life, I don't want to go forward into what I think is the perfect scenario if God is not with me. He's got to be with us. God with us. And so in God's kingdom, you cannot call your own game. God has to be the driver. He calls the shots in your life. When you try to call your own game or try to figure life out on your own apart from God, you're heading for trouble without God. We must let God lead us and guide us into the calling. We have to. And that's what this is about. You got to have passion and love God to the point where you're just going to let Him lead you to the next step and the next step and the next step. And it's never over. You're never retired from the calling. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you've got a purpose, and you're supposed to impact somebody, pray for somebody, help somebody. Something, there's something in your path that you're supposed to be doing for God. So my main point today on your notes is to see a move of God, we must have a passion to answer God's call for your life. You got to have passion to answer that call for your life. So if you'll turn to Romans chapter 11, 29, a very important scripture. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So important to underline this in your Bible. You cannot say, Lord, I don't want to do that in my life, so I'm going to do something else. The perfect illustration of that is who? Jonah, right? Jonah says, I want to follow you, Lord, the calling that you have for me to go to Nineveh is not the calling I'm going to go through. Well, when you do things like that in your life, you end up in the belly of the whale, right? You end up in the murkiness of life. So it's not optional. God has a plan and a purpose for you to impact the kingdom, to be about service. And there's a calling for you. And to be blunt and honest, you're not ever going to find joy and peace and what the world calls happiness, you know, fulfillment, until you are in that calling. You can try to put on an act, but until you are in where God wants you to be at that moment, at that time, you'll be struggling. You'll be struggling with purpose. You'll be struggling with identity. You'll be struggling with what are you supposed to be doing in life. And as pastor, I don't want anyone to be struggling. I want you to be at peace and joy and fulfilled in your perfect calling in God. And you have to have passion to want to be there. You got to have passion and love for God to want to be in that place where God is. You know, I love that song, Where You Go, I Go, Where You Stay, I Stay. It's a song that Jesus Culture, which we got to hear live, by the way. Pretty cool at the Foursquare convention. They were there. And I love that song because it talks about this. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. I want to be where you're at. And even though the world has rejected you, I'm not going to reject you. And it's a song about being where God is, and I love that concept. So Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the callings of God. This applies to the gifts too. Even though I'm not talking about gifts today specifically, your gifts, you know, your gifts are without repentance as well. God's given you certain ability, certain things that you may not even be aware of yet that you can do for him, and you can't return those. They're without repentance. You gotta use them for his kingdom. So let's go to the story in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. This is a story we all know about Saul being converted to Paul. Let's read the story from chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, anybody preaching about Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. So he just got a decree saying, if you find anybody preaching about Jesus, whether man or woman, you can lock him up. And on his way, he had the decree in his hand, right? He's ready. He's going. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thee must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor he drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, O Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jesus at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on the name of Jesus. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. What an amazing story. An amazing story. Saul had plenty of passion. His name was Saul at this time. He was not lacking passion. He had passion, but his passion was misdirected. He thought that his passion was to the old Mosaic law and that Jesus was coming against it. So he had it all backwards. He was misdirected passion. But as soon as Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul became Paul. And he started letting God call the game of his life. Saul's passion was misdirected, but Paul, his name was renamed to Paul, his passion was to answer God's call in his life in the name of Jesus. You know, this story is not just a story about redemption. It is a story about what happens when you have passion to answer God's call for your life. After his conversion, Paul goes on to write 2/3 of the Bible, of the New Testament. And he begins a Jesus revival that directly has impacted the United States church today. And as a matter of fact, you and I are sitting in this church right now because as a result of the road to Damascus. Think about that. You and I sit here because of the road to Damascus. You can say we are like road to Damascus fruit, right? Because when God called Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles, God had you and me in mind. Amen? He was the focal point of the revival outside of Jerusalem. He's the one that God used. And it all began with passion. Saul had passion. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. But as soon as Jesus got a hold of him and Paul got it, he said, I'm in. And you read the stories of Paul. It wasn't always great. Paul went through many, many struggles and battles. And he went to some places where they just rejected him. And there was no church established. But he went to other places like Rome and like Ephesus, right? Or like Ephesians, where things happened. And God moved. So the story of Paul is a perfect example of a man who has passion to answer the call of God. And I have put on there the calling of God in your notes. I'm not talking about a title. Maybe you're thinking the calling, what's my title? Pastor, leader? That's not what I'm talking about here in this particular case. The calling of God is not a specific title. The calling of God is not even a specific moment or a specific feeling that, oh, I feel right right now, or I feel good. The calling of God for your life is a journey that places you in God's perfect will day by day by day. Amen? And that's our charter or our responsibility. How do I make sure that every day I wake up, I'm in God's perfect will? How do you do that? It's the question of all questions. Because if we all had it figured out, we would be, you know, Jesus had it figured out. Jesus is the only man that every day was in God's perfect will without fail. Because he never sinned. How do we get there? Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. But let's move on. Paul did have a title of apostle. And he did have many powerful moments. And he had powerful feelings. But the calling of God in Paul's life was a journey. Until that last part in the scriptures where he says, I have finished the race. I fought the good fight. Until that last moment where he knew it was time for him to leave this earth, he was in God's calling. The calling of God in your life is a journey that places you in God's perfect will day by day. So my hope and prayer for the church today, for you today, above all, is that we have passion to be in God's perfect will. So the one and only underline you have in your notes under pastor's thoughts, my hope and prayer for church today is that above all, we have passion to be in God's perfect will. A passion, that you will have a passion to use your gifts and talents to impact people of God. A passion to be where God is. It takes ordinary people with passion to answer God's calling to see the hand of God move in revival. You have a calling, a day-by-day calling. And yes, sometimes that manifests itself in a title or in a position or a moment, but that's not what you're aiming for. You're aiming to be in God's perfect will day by day. Day by day. That's our goal. You know, there's so many things. You know, this is a year in 2019 that we've talked about sowing and growing. Just continue to sow into things, into men's ministry and men's gatherings and women's gatherings and working together for putting things together. And we have outreach teams coming down soon, and we'll go out to the community center and try to, we'll bless people. And there's so much that God has put us in a position to be his hands and feet. So much. But at the end of the day, it takes people willing to be in his perfect will to do the service, right? There are people, you know, there's things in this church that we're hoping for, that we're praying for. Because I see a bigger picture. I see God using us to do amazing things and for us to be, we're called to do amazing things for this community, for this area, for this impoverished area. We're called and God's going to put it all together. And I don't necessarily stress and worry too much over that big picture call. God's going to use us to help people, and I know that. I really believe that. And I know some of you think I'm crazy. You know, we thought Pastor Green was crazy when he used to tell us, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to have dorms, we're going to do this. And we're like, what are you talking about? And now we're kind of like, okay, God, we see what you're doing. So I trust the bigger picture. I trust that God's going to use us to impact people's lives and be able to show them the love of Christ. And the wheels are in motion, and there it is. So I have faith and I believe, and I don't really stress over that too much. But you know, what stresses me more is the little things, like the next step. How do we get there, Lord? Who's going to do what? How one person can't do it all. And so in this church, we have a prayer and hope that God's just going to put pieces together, and it may be some of you right now that God's going to be dealing with about being in his perfect call, or maybe others, or I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure. But I know this, that God's got to put things in place like a children's ministry leader or pastor or this kind of leader or pastor or this kind of, I mean, the work is work to be done, and it takes people answering the call day by day, step by step, to walk in there and to do the work. And when all of us are doing that, tremendous things happen. And the passion that I'm talking about is a passion to answer his call, whether that means serving in this area or that area, and doing it in a way with joy and peace, and not in a way of burden and struggle. Because if we want, we can all focus on the burden and struggle of ministry. There's a lot to complain about in ministry. Amen? I don't know, those of you who know what I'm talking about. A lot to complain about. But you get to choose every day what your focus is going to be. Part of the answer, as Pastor Green used to tell us all the time, right, when we were younger. Are you going to be part of the answer or just part of the problem like everything else in life, you know? And this topic about passion, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of, yes, Lord, I'm in. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And it takes a certain level of surrender, sacrifice, and as Jesus said, in order to live, die. And what is he talking about? To me, when he says die, it doesn't mean physically, right? We all know that. It means die of your own agenda. Die of your own carnal nature. And so I do believe that there are people in this room that God has called you to do something, and you're afraid. You're afraid to step out. You're afraid what that all means as far as sacrifice. You're afraid of the burden. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up that cross and follow me. And you know, the cross, it has weight. I'm not going to tell you, once you begin to answer that call day by day and you're in and you're serving, that all of a sudden everything is going to just be awesome and nothing's going to go wrong. Whoever's telling you that is lying to you. But the joy and the peace you cannot replace. Once you know you're in God's perfect will and His calling and you're moving in that direction, the blessings, the joy, the peace is what the whole world is looking for. Some purpose, some fulfillment. That's where it is. It's in answering the call of God in your life. That's where it is. That's where that fulfillment is. That's where that longing of purpose is. It's in that call day by day. And as soon as you start to do your own thing, you're going to feel the pull of depression, the pull of what purpose, lack of purpose. You're going to feel that. So church, I just want to emphasize today the peace, the longing, the fulfillment you're looking for. It's in the call of God for your life. It's there. It's there. It takes a step of faith, and it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to step out of the boat. It's not comfortable to say, yes, Lord, whatever. Let your will be done. But it's clear in Scripture that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Amen? Amen. I'm excited because I know that God is speaking to us. I know that God is speaking to us. I want to be where God is. Let's close with this. If you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I want to be where God is. I want to have passion for His call. I want to be where God is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 in closing. Michelle, if you'll come as we close some music. I want to be where God is. You know what happens where God is before we get there? Where God is, you begin to see His man bring hope to the hopeless. Where God is, you'll see people with cancer healed. You'll see signs and wonders. You'll see people who are lost and in darkness be set free and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where God is. He's in the business of bringing what seems dead to life. And that's where God is. Characteristics of people who won't fall or fail from their calling. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience, godliness, and to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling an election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail or fall. So it gives us a hint there. In order to make sure that you don't fail in your calling, in your election, you have to have certain characteristics. And the characteristics are listed there in your notes. Moral excellence, and that only comes through the righteousness in Jesus Christ. Amen? So that means you have to be going to Jesus saying, Lord, show me your righteousness. Empower me by your Spirit to be righteous. Moral excellence means not that you are perfect, but that you know where to go. And his name is Jesus. You have to have knowledge. You got to read God's word. You got to be in church. You got to keep the word coming in and knowledge so you can gain that knowledge. So you got to hunger for that. You got to have self-control empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's certain things we shouldn't do. We shouldn't watch. There's certain things we shouldn't be a part of. Self-control, perseverance, commitment to God's call, and passion, godliness, brotherly kindness. You got to be kind to each other, right? You got to be kind to each other. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? People don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I hurt him or her? I'm going to hurt him or her. That's not how people work. Now, they do things that hurt you, but it's not always what it seems, right? Be kind and give people benefit of the doubt. Love one another. Love doesn't see fault or is not jealous. Just love. So you kind of get a sense here. How do you make sure you don't fail in your calling? We need the Holy Spirit to give us these characteristics in our lives. And that's how I wanted to end today. Church, we have an amazing destiny as a church. The impact potential is tremendous. And we're in no hurry because God's timing is always the best timing. But don't neglect your calling. Don't ignore your calling. Don't brush it aside. Hunger for it. Thirst for it. Be passionate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in your word, it is clear that our gifts and our calling, they're irrevocable. They are what they are. And Lord, I pray that as a church family, we leave this place today determined and with passion to answer the call in our lives. That we choose a journey to be with you in your perfect will day by day by day. You have not given us the spirit of fear, Lord. You have not given us the spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power, of love, a sound mind. And Lord, we choose to walk in your perfect calling. And we know, Lord, it's time for the church to live each day with passion to answer your call. We know that the blessings for people who surrender all, the blessings are unmeasurable, O Lord. We know that when we let you drive, there's a peace that passes all understanding. We know when we let you drive, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We know when we let you drive, Lord, that we will see signs and wonders. We know when we let you drive, we will see healings and people being set free. It is a beautiful, beautiful journey to be in your perfect will day by day. Seal that in our hearts, oh Lord. And as we have so many activities going on as a church, and maybe some can make it, some cannot make it, but Lord, help us to be united in fellowship. Be united in common purpose, in common destiny, that each and every one of us individually are a piece of the body. And every piece is important. Lord, hear our cry. We are a people willing to answer the call day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's answer the call. Let's answer the call in Jesus' name. Amen.